Let's Talk Letts, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.
So hello and welcome to the latest episode of our podcast, Let's Talk Letts. I'm Heidi, the CEO of the Lettings Hub, the tenant referencing business that got good at tech. Let's Talk Letts is our regular roundup of news and views on a whole range of subjects spanning the private rented sector. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Mike Delap from Homebox, who is also a trustee of the Property Mark Trust, which is the charitable arm of Property Mark, and is dedicated to offering assistance and support to members, colleagues, and their families. Later this year, Property Mark is hosting its very first PropX event, which is a whole day of networking with property industry professionals and knowledge sharing. In fact, I'm very proud to say the Lettings Hub is a silver sponsor of this event, and we're very much looking forward to attending and seeing what it's all about later this year. So let's get started. Mike, thank you so much for joining me today. Please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit more about the Trust and about the PropX event.
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. This is Mike. Thank you for having me on, for starters. Introduce myself. So we'll try and keep this as streamlined as I can. I've actually worked in the property sector for, if we're keeping count, about 5.5 years now. I accidentally landed in the property industry, but then kind of fell in love with it as I went. So I won't make this out to be some, you know, wise career move or something. It's just kind of ended up that way through me driving it. But in my time in the industry, I've never been an agent in my life. I'm pure breed supplier. From my point of view, I actually spent just around 4 years working at Vouch tenant referencing that I'll move on from due to some conflict of interest here. I've actually spent the last 9 months of my life working at Homebox as well. So somehow managed to find the two bits of this industry, referencing and utilities, that nobody would call sexy under any circumstances. The tech bit is though. From our point of view, about 3 months ago now, I applied and became a trustee at the Property Mark Trust, which was a great honour for me. So yeah, really enjoying all the work that we're doing there. There's a lot of good people on board just outside of myself, but very, very keen today, of course, to talk not just about the Trust, but also about our PropX event in September, which we're all putting a big push on for now and all very, very excited about.
Okay, so as I mentioned, obviously in the introduction, PropX is the very first event that the Trust has hosted. Tell us a little bit more about what led you and obviously your fellow trustees to decide to hold the event and obviously what you're hoping to get from it.
Definitely. So, I mean, the motivations behind it were, it just, first off, seemed to be the right time to do it because the Board of Trustees grew January, February time. I'm very sorry, that's not actually the case. It just feels like it was then. Naturally, of course, like any charity, we don't have an income stream, like a regular income stream, so rely very heavily on donations, on events, etc. So given some of the people involved, the next natural step seemed to be, let's have an event ourselves, let's build this event up, let's fundraise, let's use the ticket money that comes in and the sponsor money that comes in to purely fundraise and back what we do at the Trust as well. Exciting stuff to do, but first one, so a little scary as well.
I was going to say, so this, the main aim, I guess, is to raise as much money as you can. And I suppose not only that, hold a really kind of powerful event that people kind of go away and talk really favourably about and therefore definitely want to sign up for the next one, whenever that might be. Why would you say this event then is different? How is it kind of being structured differently to some of the standard events that we might see across the industry year on year?
Well, the main difference is it's kind of done in like this TED Talk style environment that's out there. So, of course, we want everybody who comes to the event to have plenty of, you know, insight in terms of like, you know, professional networking, to be able to, from all of the talks, take away stuff like, you know, this will help me in my career, this will help me in my personal life, etc. But we wanted to do it in a slightly more sort of relaxed environment where I'll stop short saying like comedy stand-up. It won't be that, obviously, because none of us are funny. But you know, we wanted to do it in a way where it was quite quick fire, round robin, that sort of stuff, so people who can feel constantly engaged as well. Because having been at, like you and I have been at, Heidi, enough events in our time, what we didn't want to do was kind of go into that typecast sort of like, you know, it's a professional event and, you know, strictly business all the time. There's an element of that, but it's, you know, it's supposed to be casual fun and for people to feel engaged throughout as well.
Okay, cool. And I think there's about, what, 15-ish speakers lined up to kind of speak. So when you kind of talk about it being quite quick fire, there should be lots that people can take away throughout the day, depending on, I guess, what their particular interests are then.
Well, that's it, because I think, I mean, the lineup of speakers is really, really good, if I'm not going to include myself in that as well. Sorry, I've got a very deprecating sense of humour, so, you know, just bear with me. But no, we've got a very nice broad range of speakers from suppliers, from agency. We've also guest speakers as well. So it's 20 minutes ago for everybody who's on stage. And really, the content of those talks was very much decided by the, you know, the speaker themselves. There wasn't like a template out there saying, look, this must be on a particular subject. It was actually, what subject is relevant to you? What can you talk about passionately for 20 minutes? And what can you give back to people to have some takeaways at the end to, you know, to feel like they got some value out of it as well?
Yeah. And do you know what any of the speakers are actually speaking about? Have we kind of got a few snippets of the types of things that we might listen to?
Yeah. Definitely. So yeah, good news is not breaching any GDPR or any, you know, any confidence here or anything like that. So again, nice broad range. I mean, first off, I'll start off with myself. Mine's actually very much built around my own personal journey. I've spent a lot of my life in like the adoption circles, for instance, from there. So a lot on that. And I mean, from my point of view, I like to build it towards a bit of a personal thing about how I keep my sort of like life pillars strong. So I feel very happy in myself as a human. But we've also got a lot of talks. There's one on AI, the influence of AI. We've also got somehow managed to get rope David Minson to talk about anything you wanted him to talk about as well. There's a really, really interesting bits like tech innovations. There's even bits and bobs about getting, you know, advantages in the working circles. There's loads and loads of stuff, but it's all relevant and it's all coming from like from the heart rather than it just being like purely, you know, business. Just sort of like his work and it's driven by that.
I was lucky enough earlier in the year to go to the Women in Estate Agency Conference. And again, I went into that with not a huge expectation, but had a hugely beneficial day. One of my takeaways from that event was you didn't have to be in property to benefit from the event. There was so much good content and, you know, I got a huge amount from the day, regardless of the industry that I ended up working in. Is that going to be similar here, do you think?
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. I was not lucky enough to go to that event, but there was a very healthy Homebox squad out of our almost unlimited collection of strong independent women that you know, talk over me all of the time, and quite right, why wouldn't they? But yeah, the, you know, from our point of view, that's exactly the vibe we want to take away. We're aware that the large majority of people attending this event will come from the property circles, and of course the messaging should be strong there because we are a charity that ultimately helps people in our sector. But if somebody walked in off the street and said, can I get something out of this event? And I've just turned up. The answer is yes. Naturally, they have to pay to get in, but they could certainly take away stuff from it as well.
So we're going to talk a bit later, actually, about how people could access a ticket, how much it costs. But actually, I suppose the message is even if you've got a friend that, you know, likes all of this type of stuff, likes being open to new things and learning things, then bring them along. They don't have to be a letting agency friend or anything like that. So for all of our listeners that are not aware of the Property Mark Trust, just kind of explain how it was formed, what's the vision behind it, what support is available to people, how can that support be accessed, how is it currently being used? Tell us anything you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So the trust itself actually has gone, I'd say, for a bit of a reshape recently, because it was obviously first and foremost born out of Arden House, which is where Property Mark itself is based. But it then took on the mantle of being the Property Mark Trust itself, and being an arm of the, you know, Property Mark as an organisation. But the idea behind it was to go out there, and the message is pretty straightforward. People who work in property or are in property circles who go through, you know, times of disadvantage or hardship can access funds that are available through the charity to support themselves. That's ultimately the aim of everything that we do. And I mean, from the point of view of how the whole process plays out, the support can be accessed, really. We have like an application management team within our trustee network. So people, for instance, you know, individuals who want grants, they can access them by either emailing in, contacting us. We speak to them over the phone as well to obviously get the right angle on it for ourselves and understand, get an empathy on what they're going through. And then, of course, a decision's made on how much hardship funding they get from that side. So that feels like a pretty generic overview, but
I guess it's like putting a big hug around our industry and letting everybody know that there is support there should people need it. And even if people are listening today and not thinking, well, that's lovely, but it doesn't really affect me, actually no one knows what's around the corner, do they? And I guess it's just awareness, because it could be somebody in their team, someone that they hopefully, it won't be them one day, but it could be, but just people that they come across.
Yeah, and I think I'm not sure if we're going to bracket off into this a bit as well, but one thing I did want to raise some awareness of on this podcast, we also do a lot with orphan funds, so we're raising a lot of awareness around orphan funds and how they come about, because actually there's a real chance to use those orphan funds for a better cause. I'll try and do like a base upwards explanation here, but orphan funds, they are funds in an agency's clients' accounts that have been kicking around for a set period of time, that set period of time being a minimum of 6 years. But essentially, they are funds that have been unclaimed, deposits, etc., that have got lost. I could be wrong, and people might listen to this. I might get a deluge of abuse. I don't know. But I think there's a lot of agents out there who don't realise that past that six-year mark, they can actually use those funds and donate them to charity. In an ideal world, to the Property Mark Trust, but they can do it. And again, it's a great fundraising angle from us as well, because they are just simply dormant, sat around, not doing much. And as an organization, if anyone's listening to this and they're thinking, well, actually, what if I donate these and then, out of the blue, someone rings up demanding their money back unclaimed from many years ago, we do actually guarantee that those funds, we will reimburse those funds. We put that guarantee in place against it. I suppose the good news that we do have is that's never actually happened.
Seen you've been doing a little bit of campaigning on that on LinkedIn. And I think when it comes to client money accounts, people are obviously really nervous about touching them, because, the rules are is do not touch that money. But I think it is about the education piece here of making people aware and actually cleaning them up, so that actually there is a totally clean fund that is sat there for people to manage, rather than always be going, oh, yeah, but don't forget there's that £1,200 in there that is just old money that blah, blah, blah. Yeah, good idea. So have you had anyone come forward yet? I know it's kind of a new campaign that you've all started, but.
Yes. Yeah. Good. So we have. I'm going to have to try and anonymize that bit as much as I can. But yes, the answer is yes. We do receive donations through those channels. But I suppose ultimately what we're also doing is we're also kickstarting that initiative by speaking to, a range of suppliers in our industry as well, because we'd love them all to have a filter where, the agents that use the platforms have the ability to just simply self-donate, if you like, and choose that option and make that selection themselves. Yeah. So that's the kind of the other angle on that. And the more we can get doing that, the better, because it just gives people wider access.
So just in terms of some of the people the situations that the Property Mark Trust has helped before, I know there is a big focus on mental health and well-being as well. And, we spoke to Ben Madden a few weeks ago, who's just launched the Boys Club. When we were at the Women in Estate Agency conference, there was a huge conversation about it as well. And even myself, I've actually been on a management briefing within our own company today all about it, actually, and how it's so important. But what are the main reasons people call and ask for help and, would like some of the money? And, what are some of the cases that the trust has really been able to help?
Yeah, so I can give you a couple of well-guarded examples, obviously, for hopefully fairly straightforward reasons. But the mental well-being thing you've just touched on, I will cover that first. So we, from our side of things, that is also a big part of what we do. We have a team who are very, very focused on, we work in a very, very fast-paced, difficult industry. There's a lot of stress day to day. And what we do is we do a lot of like support courses, videos. There's even, every week one of our trustees or our cracking squad of ambassadors do like a little video with just a tip on, how to best look after yourself and your mind as well. And even lend some tips on how to go through professional qualifications, you know, and take just take a little bit of mental sting out of things, because again, it's another stressful event. So the two examples I can think of that, you know, and I suppose just to cycle back on the first answer to your question, there are a range of reasons why people fall on hard times. It's difficult to pigeonhole, but the specific examples, redundancy. So, you know, unfortunately, we're working in a time where there is a lot of redundancy around the industry. So, you know, there are times where we've had like a, you know, a single mum who's, you know, gone for a very difficult personal experience. She's also found that, you know, a hardship in her job in being able to support us off of childcare as well as she goes through that parenting journey on her own. So, you know, we were able to support for that. You know, a hardship grant was made for that. And I suppose the other one that also kind of springs to mind, it is fairly similar on that side, is we had someone who had kind of gone through a period where they actually had to drive a lot more for their job, and had difficulties accessing transport, petrol costs, etc. So again, they put a case forward to us that, you know, that kind of demonstrated to us how things difficult are things to become. And, you know, both those instances, we were able to support them and plug those gaps for them with a grant. And that, you know, naturally you tend to find these things come out on the other side, but just being able to see people, the appreciation that they have when these things come along and just how it gets their life back on track is every bit of reward that's ever needed as well.
I think then, you know, probably one of the main messages for people to take away is it doesn't have to be like massive thing. It actually is some of the smaller things that happen that then trigger a bigger issue, where actually just need, where people just need a little bit of extra help and it makes all the difference.
That's it. And, you know, again, just from a clarity point of view, we do means, you know, we do means assess everything. We you know, we do our fact checking on our side as well, because naturally, yes, in an ideal world, we'd like to help everybody. We help anyone that we can. But we do obviously need to, almost both from our side, we've got an obligation just to stress test it out and make sure there's a genuine need there. But you're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be, you know, templated into, you know, it needs to be a certain level of severeness to bother asking or something like that. That is not what this is about. It's about, you know, coming to us with a genuine case and us having a look at it and making the right call for all concerned as well.
Okay. So you mentioned, obviously, you're a new trustee, and you mentioned that obviously the kind of, there was a bit of a kind of a reinstatement, if that's the right word, of the trust earlier this year. I can see now that Megan 18, David Mintz, as you mentioned before, and Toby Martin, definitely some really well-known names in our industry with big networks and hopefully large voices out there to attract attention. How is the team then coming together? How are you working as a team? How often do you meet? Is there still space for other people to join? How do people get involved? Tell us all about it.
Absolutely. So we have a group of trustees, but we also have a really, really good team of ambassadors as well who help us out. So it's kind of set out into, and I don't really like calling them strands, because we're all, you know, part of the same machine. And there's no, you know, in my mind, no one's ever been like, well, this, you know, this person does more than the other, because everyone contributes. But from a trustee point of view, I think there was about, I hope I'm getting this right, there's about another six of us that got added to the roster earlier in the year. From there, but yeah, some really, really well-known names, not just across agency but also across suppliers as well, which I think was something that they were very keen to do. But we also went ahead, and we're even doing it now, expanding our range of ambassadors who go out and get our message ahead. So yeah, there's a difficulty in that, of course, because we're all scattered across the country. There's also an extra difficulty, of course, because we're all quite loud, have our own opinions, you know, very keen to push and have our say. So how we do that is, there's a pretty excellent collection of WhatsApp groups to start with that we funnel our efforts into, you know, like prop tech solutions, fundraising, marketing. So it's all kind of driven by chairs in each of those arms. But the groups kind of day to day communicate in there. I suppose outside of that, we of course do all meet up online as well. So we do also have like like monthly meeting where we log on and have an agenda and sort things through. So yeah, we're a really, really good bunch, but yeah, it does, you know, need that level of organisation just to make sure everyone's having their voice heard and we've all got the messaging on the same page as well.
Yeah, super. So let's kind of go back to the event then. Let's kind of do a totally shameless plug now for the event. Tell us, when is it? Where is it? How much does it cost? Give us the lowdown.
Definitely. Well, I'm trying not to use my X Factor sort of announcer voice that I can actually do quite well if you ask me on demand. But
okay.
But no, the event is called PropX. It's being held on the 20th of September, and it's a 9-to-5 event. It's actually being held at the Millennium Point in Birmingham. So cracking venue, open venue as well. The ticket price for it is just a shade under £110 a ticket to attend for the day. And as an agenda, really, really ram chocked full. As in, like, if anybody else said, look, I'd love to speak at this event, I'm very sorry, but there literally just isn't any space. But what we've got is we've literally got a range of 15 speakers across our industry. They get 20 minutes each to have their say on a certain topic and provide takeaways. We've also got loads of, you know, little breakout sessions for professional networking, to meet sponsors, speak to delegates, to, you know, to research and speak about tech solutions and how suppliers can help agency throughout as well. And on top of that as well, I suppose if that isn't enough, there's even a bit of lunch provided in the middle on that side. But yeah, the whole idea of this day is to listen, take part, breathe it all in, and really just leave the venue thinking, do you know what, I feel re-energized, not just as a, you know, as a business professional, but as a person, because I feel like there's just been stuff presented to me that's been really well, you know, shown to me, and ultimately just something where they feel like, you know what, I've not, you know, there's 15 speakers, not everyone's going to take everything from everyone and get loads, but you know, there's something, there's so much content in there with such good people that you can't possibly come away from that and think, you know what, you know, there wasn't loads of stuff for me to take away.
Yeah, so I guess it's a little bit different to other events, as you'd mentioned. It's going to be fast paced, quick fire, lots of content, lots of different subjects outside of London, which is actually quite good as well for some, because obviously a lot of the big events are kind of held in London, reasonably priced, and a good day for everybody to kind of get together after the summer break, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah, we're kind of going straight at the start of sort of the what we traditionally know as our own conference season. I know in our house, between September to November, I'm barely here. In fact, when I return home, if my wife recognizes me, then fair enough, I wouldn't expect it really at this point, but no, I think from our point of view, it's a really, really good time to have it as well, because people are coming back off summer holidays, annual leave, and thinking, actually, what can I get my teeth stuck into? And we wanted an event that stood out, that, you know, didn't just look like part of the norm as well.
Yeah, and the sun hopefully in September is still going to be shining for us. So good luck to you, Mike, and all of the trustees. Hoping it's going to be a total sellout event for you, especially as your first one. We wish you all the luck. For all of our listeners, there is not unlimited tickets to this event. Obviously, as you heard from Mike, the venue's already been selected. So there's only a maximum of about 300 people that can benefit. So don't wait till after that summer break before booking your ticket. And I guess they can, people, listeners, can go to the website to buy.
That they certainly can. Absolutely. Happy to share the link, the contact details as well, because what I'm very keen after this is for, you know, for more people to have access to the event naturally, but also just easy ways to contact us to get the information they need to help support the trust as well.
Yeah. And we'll make sure that we pop all of that out on our LinkedIn post as well, so that it's really easy for people to do a few clicks and to be in the gang, I guess. So thank you, Mike. I know my team are hugely looking forward to going. There's already a bit of a tussle to see who gets to go and represent the Lettings Hub. As I mentioned earlier, we're a silver sponsor, which we're thrilled to be able to offer our support and hope that this is the first event of many more to come. We'll obviously be there with the stand, we'll be there with the suites, and hopefully be there in a very cheerleading capacity to make sure the event is a huge success. But before you go, our regular listeners of Let's Talk Let's will always know that we ask every guest on our podcast for a funny, lighthearted story or anecdote to end on.
Yeah, so this is a fairly recent one, and I'm going to try and condense this because this could go on a while if I don't do that. So I'll set the scene. My colleague Annalise and I were at an event in London, and we realised earlier this year that a few days before we were supposed to travel to London, we haven't actually got any accommodation booked. Shouldn't we probably sort something out? And the answer naturally was yes. What we did in haste was find an Airbnb in London, and in haste didn't check any reviews, really do any due diligence on what we were about to experience. And having driven to London, which in itself was, you know, part of the fun, the traffic around there, we turned up at this Airbnb, you know, full of optimism, thinking, you know, looking forward to the stay, let's get a crash under our belt, get ready for tomorrow. We arrived and it was about a 50-story tower block of apartments, which looked really nice. But we walked into the main reception and basically were asked to show to our room, and the bloke on reception had no idea what we were going on about. We mentioned that we were there for an Airbnb stay. He looked equally confused, literally like a man who says, we don't do those here, which led us to initial conclusion that this might actually be an illegal sublet and we were partaking in crime. Eventually, our host actually came and met us and ushered us into the lift with such a speed that confirmed that this surely was an illegal sublet that we were partaking in. The fun didn't stop there. We got into the apartment, and he, rather than just saying, enjoy guys, crash, decided to embark on the most painstaking 20-minute tour of an apartment I've ever seen. Highlights included showing us the first master bathroom, and showing us how well the shower head had broken from a previous stay. The shower water didn't just go downwards, it went up and around past the shower curtains and flooded the bathroom. And hold on to this information because you'll need it in a second. He informed us that it would cost £200 for this shower head to be replaced. That was the cost. Further parts of the tour included the lack of a TV in the apartment, no curtains as well on any you know, on the main living room, which was great because it was really sunny. We were lucky really to come out of this experience with sort of 50% of our retinas still intact. Further highlights, we were shown into the master sort of bedroom where some sort of strange collection of, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say, the sort of pimp jackets existed. There's all a very fluffy furry array of coats, which I assume was possibly a sideline. And then the stuff that I feel like I can talk about, he then showed us into the living room and told us that we needed to use the fob on the key to get out, but the fob would not work. But if we lost the fob, it would cost us, to our shock, £200 to replace.
Wow.
Which very, very conveniently was also the cost of the shower head that needed replacing as well. He even showed me outside where free parking existed from 37 stories, having already been in full knowledge that my car was already parked and I'd paid £20 for the privilege as well. By the time he left, we decided that we needed to go to our own individual rooms and have a sleep just to recover from what was at that point a pretty harrowing stay.
Oh, wow. But you did stay. You didn't at that point decide to exit fast.
Yeah, we decided to stay. We even went and had a meal in an Italian restaurant, which we were reassured was owned by an Italian man, by this very same bloke. And it was also the most aggressive Italian meal I've ever had, where he decided that grating Parmesan cheese from 6 feet in the air onto my plate was somehow acceptable as well.
Okay.
From there. But yes, the good news for anyone else who wants us for an Airbnb stay is, you know, it can't possibly be any worse than that. So, you know, we've hit the floor of standards.
Kind of the true story, really, of life on the road, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if anything, we remember it. So, you know, there's always that. It wasn't so dull that we can't recall it. It lives long in the memory and indeed nightmares as well.
Yeah, it makes good relationships. Okay, so to ensure any of you do not miss an episode of Let's Talk Let, please follow us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. Please leave us a review if you like it, and thank you so much for listening.
Let's Talk Let's, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.